And last night, they kind of fell back into the Santa Claus role, gifting the Jets too many goals.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think they got behind. You know, Mike Smith had his share of the blame last night, you know, and there's lots to go around. But his happened kind of, you know, in a short period where the Oilers got down, and then they played a style of game trying to get themselves back into it that I think just loosened them up, got them away from the structure that they have success with when they're good defensively. So they were chasing it. And when they were chasing it, they put it into a gear that is hard to defend when you're in that gear. And there were some critical mistakes that they made and some individual mistakes that were made. So, yeah, I think it was a combination of not being able to outscore their mistakes and outscore, you know, a night where the goaltender wasn't as good as he would have liked to be, I'm sure. And so it ends up being a track meet. And they almost did it, but not quite enough in the end.
Yeah, well, they came back, you know, numerous times. So yeah. Tied at 4-4, they tied 5-5, and they gave back the goals right away. And the other thing was last night, for the eighth time this year, in only 17 games, concerning, they've allowed two goals in under 2 minutes. And, you know, that just, that has to, that's going to have to stop, because, you know, hey, giving up a goal is hard in the NHL, but when you give up two like that in quick succession, you know, there's a reason why they have a gross record in games. They're 2-5 in the games when they allow two goals in 2 minutes. It's pretty obvious that you just can't do it and get away with it.
Well, it just sucks the life out of you. Like, whatever game you've come out and thrown on the ice, let's say you come out and you're playing real well as a group and things are going well, and then you have a lull, good teams can shake themselves out of that and get back to the game that they were playing before. When it's two, that's a major kick in the pants. Like, one is a kick in the pants enough. When it's back-to-back like that, before you can get yourself back on track, it's no good. So it's not a good trade for them to have. It's strange. I don't recall having talked about a run like that or a stat like that over the years, where they consistently are having lulls where it's not just one, but multiple goals at a time. So, yeah, they got to exercise that demon for sure, get rid of that. That's a bad trait. And that'll put them out of games that they otherwise showed up ready to be in. You know, every team's going to have little dips here and there, but you can't let it be like that. So, you know, I heard talked about that. Connor, I think, talked about that today when you asked. And it's something that I don't know what goes on the bench. I don't know what they say to each other, but they got to figure out a way to, okay, there's a letdown, now what? Because they do have pushback. Like, they showed in that game last night, they really can counterpunch. They just got to do it quicker.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Schauger, what are you hearing on William Lagesson and Ethan Bear? Are you expecting Bear to make his return to the lineup potentially tomorrow?
I'm not sure. You know, he's been skating. Based on the way he's been looking, I would have thought it would have been sooner. But you just never know, right? It all depends on how they feel after and that sort of thing. So I don't know on Lagesson either. Like, he tried to play through it and then couldn't, so then obviously he's injured. So I'm not really hearing much, and I don't have great answers. I think, you know, Evan Bouchard spent a lot of time today after the rest of the group had left the ice working on some stuff to get ready to play the left side. I expect that to happen. He was working on taking pucks off the wall in the offensive zone as a right shot on the left side. That's a little trickier. Anytime you go to keep a puck in, you're on your backhand as opposed to being on your forehand. So that's a little bit different. He was working on that a little bit. So I think we're going to see it here.
Oh, yeah, I think no question. I think we're probably going to see it with Adam Larson, right? And so Bear comes back. I think there's a chance that Bear will go with Nurse eventually, but I think for his first game, he'd be in the third pair. So then it comes down to, well, is it going to be Cuckoo, Russell, or Caleb Jones? And I understand that Caleb Jones, you know, they're a little concerned about him on the penalty kill. Okay, sure. But you know what? The thing is, Cuckoo and Russell are getting crushed 5-on-5. So does the few minutes a game potentially on the PK completely eliminate it? Like, you got to get Jones back in the lineup. And if it's me, I would play Jones with Bear tomorrow night.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, Jones went for a pretty good skate today. You know, burned the legs pretty good, which that can be part of preparing for a game if you haven't been playing a lot lately. But based on practice today, it looked like he pushed it pretty good. So we'll see. It's tough. We're sort of learning to watch these practices and try and figure out what everything means. But yeah, I mean, you got to get Jones back in. It was an unceremonious pull from the lineup. You know, when a coach is singling you out for not being in a shooting lane, that's not a great message. And it can be, well, it was accidental or inadvertent, but, you know, that's the thing. You do something and you get pulled, and just the way the year is this year, it's going to be just so hard for that next opportunity to come its way. But, like, can you imagine if we'd have gone back to before the season where, you know, there's going to be no Oscar Klefbom and Ethan Bear is going to have trouble being in this line, or Caleb Jones is going to have trouble being in this lineup? We would have thought, holy smokes, like, what the heck's going on? But Slater Cuckoo comes in and has played pretty well in some spots, and Lagesson develops and gets a look. So that's just the way it's gone for Caleb Jones. But it's, you know, at some point, it's going to be knock-knock an opportunity, and it might be this Lagesson injury, and he just needs to get back to playing a real simple two-way game where he moves the puck well and skates hard, and he belongs in the lineup, and he belongs in this league. He's just having trouble after getting on the wrong side of the coach for some plays that the coach didn't like.
William Lagesson, shoulder injury, is that what you're hearing?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think that's one of those things that you come back and see what you can do, but then you worry about further injuring it. So honestly, I don't have an inside track on it. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but it wouldn't surprise me. That's something that a guy's going to try and play through if he can, especially a player like Lagesson who desperately wants to be out there and doesn't want to lose his place. So, but I can't confirm that. I don't know for sure.
Ryan Schauger from TSN joins us. Schauger, looks like Tyler Ennis will get a bump. Dominic Cahoon had 17 games with Leon Draisaitl, had 2 goals. They came in consecutive games. You know, last night had a pretty bad giveaway that led to the game-winning goal. And, you know, Ennis, since he got put on waivers and, you know, was in the taxi squad for a bit, like Jujhar Kerr, has come back in and played really well. He's making lots of good plays with the puck. And I think, you know, that second line has hit a little bit of a lull, so they're looking for a change. But I think it's more so just rewarding a guy who's playing really well. And Cahoon, I'm not saying the coach was looking for a reason to make a change, but one presented itself.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, you know, I might have thought that he would have. It's the first time that he's kind of been benched like that. But you are right in that it's been some time now, and the production overall that you would want from there hasn't been there. Now, there's some qualities in his game that I've really liked, and I think there's a tenacious energy that he can play with and digging pucks out and stuff. And he and Yamamoto are kind of a nice complement to getting the puck to a guy who always wants to have it on his stick. So I don't know that we've seen the last of it, and I'm not sure if Tip's going to make the switch. What I will say is that if you think about this in pairs, so you got McDavid and Nugent Hopkins, and you got Draisaitl and Yamamoto, there's nothing wrong with there being healthy competition for those other two winger spots. Nobody has to be locked in stone there, right? Puljujarvi hasn't done anything in his career where it's like, you know, that's his no matter what. Certainly not. And Cahoon, you know, hasn't either. So it should be. You want healthy competition, and that's the beauty of it. You got a third line up and running, and all of a sudden they're playing well. They're making things happen. Well, they put upward pressure. And so now the wingers who are playing better on that third line start putting pressure on some of the guys on the second line, and that's the way it's supposed to work. So I've got no problem if the message for Ennis is, hey, you're playing great. We're going to play with the hot hand. He's shown he can be a top six player and complement skilled players. Why not? Long term, I mean, I think the vision is still to have Cahoon there with what he brings, but for now, if he does make that switch, I don't have any issue with it.
And it's interesting, Connor McDavid could tie Sidney Crosby for 369 games to reach 500 points in his career. And, you know, it's just kind of funny that, the odds are pretty good that McDavid's going to get a point against tomorrow. He's got 16 points in his last 8 games. Funny enough, though, he's got, as I mentioned, doesn't have a goal in these 8 games at 5-on-5, but the Oilers are 6-2. That's a real positive. He still has 16 points, and it's crazy to think that he's had that many points with really not having any bounces or luck at 5-on-5. Like, I kind of get a sense that, we might see a few just ridiculous games for McDavid coming up, at least when it comes to point totals. Just, he's kind of, it sounds crazy, but he's due to get some bounces go his way with the amount of good chances he's created.
Well, and bounces go his way, not just him banging a few in, but line mates.
Yes.
Like, how many times has he, I mean, Puljujarvi's had some unbelievable looks. Nugent Hopkins has had unbelievable looks this year. Like, McDavid's, he's killing himself setting these guys up, and I think we know Nuge was snake bitten there for a little bit. Obviously, he's coming around. But yeah, he's putting it on a tee for these guys. And so you feel like the dam's going to burst a little bit. And 5-on-5, like he's doing all the things he normally does. He's skating 1,000 miles an hour and he's generating. And I think there's lots of good chances and lots of quality minutes. And Tippett's moving him around a little bit, trying some different looks. And I just, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think he's playing great. And whether the 5-on-5 goals are coming or not, he's just doing so much for them every night right now that, you know, what does he have? Does he have 30 points already?
Yeah, 30 and 17.
Yeah. Playing 22 and a half minutes a night. Like, yeah, pretty unreal. So he's the least of their concerns at this point.
Yeah, it's just kind of fascinating. And Nugent Hopkins, like that goal he scored 5-on-5 last night. You know, he did score in the power play, and you kind of saw him have a little bit of a relief. You mishandle it and then buried it. But then that next one was like with conviction. And you do wonder, because for whatever reason, he has not scored. And I'm just talking goals at the level you would expect playing with McDavid. When you compare it to like Zach Kassian, Josh Archibald was scoring more goals in minutes played with McDavid. You know, Maroon and all these other guys who away from McDavid weren't as productive of players as Nugent Hopkins. And so you yep. just feel like at some point the goals have to start coming from 93 playing with 97.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking too about the guys who were productive over there. Like Maroon was pretty productive in that spot, but he played, because would Draisaitl play left or right when it was McDavid and Maroon and Draisaitl all together? Trying to remember, like, there's something about when you've got a playmaker as good as McDavid is, there's something about having a right shot play on the left side so that your stick's in the middle of the ice and you're just always there and you're always prepared. Nugent Hopkins is the left shot playing on the left side, and it was funny on that power play, the cross ice feed, he almost didn't expect to get it back. Like, his stick wasn't even on the ice, and McDavid thread the seam and got it to him, and he buried the one. But it's yeah, just in terms of burying, being able to just always be ready and be that one-shot scorer. Like, when was the last time we saw Nugent Hopkins just unleash a one-timer? Like, yeah. Connor did the other game, but we almost never see that from Nuge. So it's almost
well,
like
he's rarely on the right side, though, right? He's
yeah,
rarely on the
mean.
Right side of the power.
That's what
play.
I mean. He's on that left yeah. side all the time, and so it's taking the feed and pulling it around and shooting it. I think Nugent Hopkins having that shooting mentality, you know, if you're going to play with McDavid, you need to think like a shooter a lot. And I'm not sure what his shot totals are even looking like this year. But maybe that's part of getting back into that mindset of just being ready to shoot at all times, you know, and let McDavid be making the plays and just be the guy that's always ready to let it rip. And I think other guys have had success playing with Connor, you know, for that reason.
Oh, Nugent Hopkins actually has the second most shots amongst forwards on the team, 5-on-5.
There you go.
The only guy with more is McDavid. So,
yeah. Just keep shooting, man.
Yeah,
keep
just a matter
go.
Of. Yeah, you'd think they would eventually start going in for him a little bit. Schauger, we will. And Mike Smith, obvious choice to be the starter tomorrow?
No, it wasn't the obvious choice to me at all. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. I know which net he was in today, and I get that. He worked really hard today, and he had a long practice where he worked through a lot of different stuff. So I kind of looked at that. Koskinen had the easier practice of the two, though Koskinen was down at the other end. So on the off day in between, I'm less inclined to read too deep into that as I am tomorrow morning. We'll see who's in which net. I think it's a competition between these two guys. And I think if you have a game where you're not good enough, you breed the competition by putting the other guy in and giving him a chance to pounce on the opportunity. So from a competitive standpoint, I think they should make the switch. I don't think it's a terrible mistake not to, but based on what I saw at practice today and how hard Smith went, it just made me wonder if maybe they didn't just take those nets today just because. But I don't think it's obvious to you.
Oh, yeah, I would go back to Smith.
Why?
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, the third goal I didn't like, but the other three I don't think he had a chance on. So.
Didn't you hear what Tippett said last night, though? Like, Tippett said, look, everybody's working hard, but sometimes it's not your night. He said he didn't think Smith had a great night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Smith didn't have a great night, but I look at those goals, like, I don't blame him on the Scheifele goal in the power play, right? The Yamamoto puts it, you know, now granted, Connor knocked it down, nice little hand-eye coordination,
sure.
But you get a pretty good score from there, and then Ehlers an absolute bullet. Like, I really, I guess maybe he would have. If there's the one goal he didn't like, that's totally valid. But I don't know if he was going to rip him on the other ones or not. I just think it's going to be Mike Smith. I think he likes to go back to guys, you know, basically because Koskinen played the majority of the game anyway. So I think he'll go to Smith, and then they'll split on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's wrong to do either thing. Like, we're guessing. It's a guessing game here. Who knows? But I don't think it's wrong to go either way. I just think, hey, when you want to breed that competition between the two guys and keep guys running at a high level, it's next man up, right? And if you don't give the team what you need, then the other guy gets to go, and you need to work on your game for a few days of practice and be ready to go with your next start. I think that sends the right message for the way they want their goaltending to work this year. But I could be wrong.
Shocker, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Yeah, see you, pal.